Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Alternate Routes early and ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Let's just think of the greatest football players ever. Jim Brown, Tom Brady, Jerry Rice, Joe Montana.
And if we did basketball, I'd say MJ and then LeBron, Bill Russell, Wilt, Magic, Bird, Shaq, Kobe. I mean, my list is long.
All of them are first ballot, no doubt Hall of Famers, forever celebrated by their sport and by the people that played that sport. But when it comes to baseball, it's just not that cut and dry, because arguably the best player we've ever seen play has been left standing just a bit outside the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York.
We all know why Barry Bonds isn't in the Hall of Fame, but did it have to end up that way?
Maybe not, Kevin, because the 1992 reigning NL MVP, Barry Bonds, was a free agent. Barry was eager to get out of a small market in Pittsburgh and also get as many dollars as he possibly could. But complicating that decision was the fact that his hometown Giants were waiting on approval to swap bays, San Francisco to Tampa. That is an actual thing that almost happened. And if the Giants had decided to move east, the Big Apple, New York City, would have been Barry's preferred destination.
Which is bananas. Barry Bonds as a Bronx Bomber. Imagine what that could have been, Trey.
That ballpark, with the short porch and right, would Barry have ever even needed to juice in a hitter-friendly stadium like that?
That's what I'm screaming. And what would the New York tabloid coverage of baseball's biggest superstar have looked like?
And how in the world would Barry Bonds have either played with Tom Brady or made sure nobody ever heard the name Tom Brady?
What's crazy is the way you connect these dots and how Tom Brady has played like 7 different sports. Anyway, from Wondery, I'm Kevin Frazier.
And I'm Trey Wingo, and this is what we do. It's called Alternate Routes. That's the part of life. What you about to see next is a chain reaction. Shoulda, coulda, woulda, never see the action. Let's keep it real. It's like butterfly effect for real.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So here's how the show works. Each week, we'll crack open the sliding doors of a different iconic what-if moment in sports.
And then we will follow every ripple effect and play out every woulda, coulda, shoulda scenario you can think of. Today's big question: what if Barry Bonds leaves Pittsburgh and signs with the New York Yankees?
This was one of the biggest moves in baseball free agency in a long, long time. Who was going to get Barry Bonds? And there were logistics to it. Obviously, he had ties to San Francisco because his father played there. But as we said off the top, there was a real possibility that the Giants were going to move to Tampa Bay and play there instead of out in San Francisco. So there was a million things going on.
All right, Trey, give me your first alternate route. If he makes the move to Gotham, what kind of world will we be living in?
If he goes to the Yankees, I guess my first alternate route is that the dynasty that started in 96 probably starts in 1993 for the New York Yankees. I mean, we think of that great Yankee team. They came back from down 2-0 to the Braves in the 96 World Series, then went on to win 13 straight World Series games because they won the first 4 there. And then when they got back in 98, they swept the Padres that year. And then they swept the next year. And then they won the first game of the 2000 Subway Series. So that dynasty, which started in 96, think about Barry Bonds had gone to that team in 93. Don Mattingly is there. Paul O'Neill is already there. So we have protection for Barry Bonds in the middle of that lineup. And then a few years later, in comes Derek Jeter, in comes Jorge Posada, in comes pitcher Andy Pettit, and of course, the only still unanimous Hall of Famer of all time, reliever Mariano Rivera.
Yep.
The Yankees dynasty, which began with the weird play in Jeffrey Mayer and the Baltimore Orioles in 96.
Please don't.
I know.
When we do these podcasts, I just ask that you don't mention two things. The Colts leaving Baltimore and that kid, that damn kid, Jeffrey Mayer.
He's a full-blown adult now, and we just hated him as a kid. I'm sure he's a fine, upstanding citizen now and a wonderful taxpayer.
No, he's never going to be good with me.
All of that goes back 2 years, Kevin. The Yankees had been on this drought, not winning World Series since they won in 1978. They won back-to-back years, 78. They got back in 81, lost to the Dodgers, went through the whole Dave Winfield, Mr. May thing with George Steinbrenner, all that stuff. They couldn't get out of their own way. They couldn't win a World Series. So suddenly, the Yankees go from a team that went 2 decades without winning a World Series. They're right back in the thick of things, and they're probably winning World Series on an unbelievable basis with that lineup going together. And it just starts to snowball the effect that we saw starting in 96. It just starts in 93 with so much talent on that roster.
Trey, it would have been the greatest stretch in Yankees baseball history. And I know that's saying a lot when you think of all the names and the great players, whether you're going to Gehrig or whether you're going to Ruth or DiMaggio and all these guys. This team would have eclipsed all of that, and it would have been the greatest team in Yankees history, without a doubt.
All right, give me your first alternate route.
The first one is pretty simple. Barry Bonds, first ballot, Hall of Famer, and he is the first unanimously voted in player in the Hall of Fame. And here's why. Not only is Barry juice-free because he's killing it and playing on a team where he's protected, he doesn't need the juice, and everyone is noticing what he's doing. See, in New York, you have the media coverage that is going to not only keep pace with what you're doing, they're going to inflate it in some markets. But he's also in the number one media market in the world. And because of that, he's doing commercials. You see him all the time. He is the darling of baseball, and he is beloved. He becomes a first ballot Hall of Famer because he also understands how to deal with the media. The Barry Bonds that I know today is one of the nicest human beings you will ever meet. I enjoy his company. I love every time I get to see him. We have great conversations. He is this world-class cyclist now, rides 50 to 100 miles a day. He is really just a great and enjoyable human being to be around. When he played baseball, Barry Bonds was no fun. He was one of the worst of all time when it came to going to interview someone. The way he would look at you when you walked over to him with a microphone to ask him a question was like he wanted to kill your entire family. You've been there, Trey, right?
The 93 season, I was working as a local reporter in St. Louis, so I had the unenviable task of, hey, go get a Barry Bonds interview. Kevin, I have never had a human being look at me with more disgust, contempt, and as if I was beneath him. He held out his hand like the king, like, just touch it. He was so repulsed by my presence. He could not have said no faster and just gotten me the hell away from him. So you're right. He is a changed human being now, but my God, yes, he was a bastard back in the day to deal with. He was a bastard.
And this is what I think is one of the things that will always hold him up. Even if they say, hey, the steroids, forget about it. It doesn't even matter. Then it gets into the guys voting who just disliked him. I think that's unfortunate because this was the best player I've ever seen in my lifetime. Barry Bonds in Pittsburgh was incredible. And that season when everyone was big, forget the home run hitting Barry Bonds. I'm talking about the Barry Bonds that could run and hit and steal bases and do all
that. Five-tool player.
Bonds going, and he steals it without a throw. And that's number 500.
He was incredible. If Barry had gone to New York, much like Reggie, who wasn't the friendliest guy, but he had that love-hate relationship and the media knew how to deal with him and they were in his face every day and they figured out something. Reggie became beloved.
Yeah.
And so I think that that would have happened to Barry. But boy, oh boy, oh boy, the way he looked at me the first time I asked for an interview was like, if you don't get the hell out of my face, I'm going to smack your mama.
And you in the process. I'm going to use you to smack your mama. I'm going to hit you so hard, I'm going to hit you to your mama, and you're going to bump into your mama, and then your mama's going to smack my me because I smacked you. Like, it was a real thing.
And I end this by saying, one of the nicest human beings you will meet today. What's your next alternate route?
The 94 baseball strike never happens. World Wars did not cancel the World Series. The only thing that ever canceled the World Series was at that point a car salesman from Milwaukee named Bud Selig, who was the commissioner at the time, and said, we're not having a World Series because of the strike in 94. Barry Bonds in New York would have made baseball as relevant as it would have been in the last 50 years. Everybody would have realized, let's not screw this up. And maybe, maybe in a scenario here, the Montreal Expos might have still existed and won a World Series, because that Montreal team in 1994 was loaded. It was loaded. And they might have played the Yankees in the World Series. The Yankees were really good that year without Barry Bonds in 94. So you get Barry Bonds there in 93. Baseball is rejuvenated. People are excited about the game again. It's going to be headlines everywhere. And maybe the thing that almost made baseball extinct, which, by the way, brought on the juiced player area, not the juiced ball area. Remember, they tried to say, oh, the ball is juiced. No, it was the guys hitting the ball that were juiced. It was the actual people with the bats that were juiced. Maybe none of that, which eventually wraps up Barry Bonds, comes to fruition because the strike never happens. Baseball saves itself from itself because Barry Bonds makes everybody money.
Okay, Trey, I got one for you. We've touched on it, but let's stop dancing around and let's really get into it. There is no Barry Bonds in Balco if he goes to New York. One, because of proximity, but also just because Barry doesn't need it. He is the MVP of the American League from 93 to 98. He is an unstoppable force, and we're watching the greatness of Barry Bonds, and we reward him for all the greatness and the great things he's doing, because we are part of the problem. Me and you and the rest of the media were part of the problem. Because when those guys, those juiced jackasses, started hitting home runs, we ran around like little puppy dogs on each and every broadcast.
We all bought it.
We just sold it like nobody's business. It got so stupid that at Fox Sports, we had a siren behind us that went off every time that Sammy Sosa or Barry Bonds or Mark McGwire, anybody hit a home run. Literally, you're doing a highlight for hockey and the siren goes off and you're like, oh, we've got to go to this game immediately because so-and-so just hit a home run. Now, if you know anything about baseball, you know it's more than home runs. Just like if you know anything about basketball, you know it's more than dunks and three-pointers. But we fell for it and we messed up the game. We were the idiots. We were the jackasses. So I say a part of that is the steroid era we celebrated like nobody business. You're telling me you didn't know Brady Anderson was on steroids when he hit 50 home runs? He came to the Orioles and I was like, oh my God, who is this dude? And they're like, that same guy, he couldn't hit 10 home runs the season before, but he just jacked 50.
We would show batting practice in the highlights.
Yes.
Like, who cares? It's batting practice. We just wanted to see the big guys take their swings. We all bought into it. You're exactly right. How about this one as an alternate route if he becomes a Yankee? Because to your point, well, what you just said, Barry Bonds in 1998 had arguably his best season. I think he had 37 home runs. He had 120 RBIs. He hit .308. He had 160 plus hits. I think it was the second most hits he's had in his entire 22-year career. And no one gave a shit.
Nobody.
Nobody cared because it was Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa and your network at Fox and my network at ESPN. That's all we were feeding everybody. Here, take a little more. You want a little hit? Yeah. Take another more.
Here
take
it comes. Hit. Look at Mark McGwire. He hit a home run. He's a natural strong man. He's Paul Bunyan out here.
It's amazing. Just he must be chopping wood in between games. All of that is what fueled Barry to do what he did, okay? Because he was like, I'm having one of the greatest seasons in the history of this damn game that's gone around for hundreds of years, and no one cares. If you can't beat him, I might as well join him.
And I wish more people would say that, Trey. I think what you're saying right now, I wish everybody would admit it.
Barry Bonds then becomes the poster child for doing it right in New York. While Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa are doing their thing, and someone eventually sees a little bottle in Mark McGwire's locker that says Androstenedione. What is that? But the big difference here is because Barry's in New York in that protected lineup, and again, the short porch and right, 317 down the line, suddenly, instead of being the boogeyman for the steroid era, Barry Bonds becomes the guy that's doing it right. And the whole idea of being the bad, evil, scary, angry steroid guy, Barry Bonds suddenly becomes the shining, look what you can do if you just do it the right way.
Sometimes it's important that we acknowledge all the factors that played into this. I have never heard anyone in the media just stand up and say, Hey, because we were idiots.
We all were. You got another alternate route for me? What do you got?
This is my off the map, going a little crazy.
Oh, this is your nuts one? I like it. Go for it.
Barry Bonds, the Donald Trump spokesperson.
You can't just drop that on me. You got to prepare me for that. So say that again.
It's an alternate route, y'all. During that time, Donald Trump was the toast of New York. Donald Trump was also a Democrat, and he seemed like he was down for the cause. But one thing he did is, if you were a celebrity in New York, he found you or you found him. And that's true. And Barry, if you want to stay in the coolest, hippest building at the time,
Trump Tower. Yeah.
Donald's going to lavish you. Let me say this. I've experienced this myself, that when you're around Donald Trump, oh no, he's your best friend. It's when you leave the room that all hell breaks loose. And look, we understand that the Central Park Five and all the things that went on with the housing issues and the lies about his net worth and all that stuff. But in the 80s, he was just Mr. New York. Barry Bonds would have been Mr. New York. Think of all the things that Derek Jeter did, the commercials, the Darling of Madison Avenue, Saturday Night Live appearances, other things that would have happened to Barry Bonds because it would have been his team. He would have been the captain, not Derek Jeter. So now all of a sudden, he's rolling with Donald Trump. He's hanging with him. They form a bond. They've hung out and chased supermodels or whatever. As Donald Trump is running for office, or as Donald Trump is making moves, he leans on his friend, the greatest baseball player of all time, the Hall of Famer, Barry Bonds. Because remember, there are other guys who've endorsed him. Hey, Tom Brady, hello. But what I'm saying to you is that so it's not so far-fetched to say that this great athlete would say, okay, I'm going to endorse my buddy Donald Trump. So that's how you end up. Because remember, Rudy Giuliani was a psychotic Yankees fan. He was there all the time. He loves the Yankees. They mean the world to him. So you just don't know, but it lines up so perfectly that Barry Bonds would have been down with DT, and he might be wearing those heinous tennis shoes that Donald Trump is trying to pawn off on the world. Barry, I think higher of you. I'm just saying this could have been an alternate route.
You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts.
It scares me when you say, you start rubbing your hands with a demonic smile. Go ahead.
If Barry Bonds doesn't go to the Giants and goes to the Yankees, the only people that know Tom Brady's name are his family and a couple of diehard baseball scouts.
How's that possible?
Let me explain. Okay, so we all assume that if Barry Bonds goes to that lineup, the dynasty that starts in 96, as we said, probably starts in 93, and Barry Bonds goes from the guy, the greatest player, to not win a single World Series, never won a World Series as a player in 22 years, goes to the guy coming closest to Yogi Berra's 10 World Series rings. He wins 8 during his time with the New York Yankees. And by the time of the June baseball draft in 1995, Bonds is the most influential Yankee since Mickey Mantle. So intending to keep his superstar happy, the general manager at the time of the Yankees, Gene Michael, Stick Michael as he was known, listens to Bonds, suggests that the Yankees should draft a left-handed hitting catcher from his alma mater, his high school in San Mateo, California. And that player is named Tom Brady. I want you to listen to a quote from Peter Jensen, who was the baseball coach at Tom Brady's high school in San Mateo.
Come on, man.
He said, "I thought Tommy," meaning Tom Brady, "was a sure thing as a baseball player, even more of a sure thing than Greg Jeffries, and more of a sure thing than Barry Bonds, believe it or not." So that's how significant Peter Jensen thought Tom Brady's potential as a baseball player could be. So in this scenario, once Brady starts to have trouble hanging on to the college quarterbacking job at the University of Michigan, people forget, like, Brady was up and down his entire tenure at Michigan. It never felt like he was the guy. There were the Drew Hensons of the world. Every year he had to cling for life either to keep the starting job or to get playing time when it had been given to somebody else. So maybe one time he says, that's enough. Bonds then at this point gives Brady a tour of Yankee Stadium. The teenager becomes in awe and he says, you know what? Screw this. I'm not doing this football thing anymore. Barry and I, he's my godfather. All this, we have this relationship, all this kind of stuff. And suddenly, Tom Brady decides to go full into baseball. And as we all know, a lot of can't-miss prospects miss in baseball. Tom Brady never gets out of Double A, and suddenly, the GOAT as we know him does not exist in football, and Tom Brady becomes just another guy who was great in high school and couldn't cut it against major league pitching.
At first, I thought this was so silly, what you're saying. It makes sense to me now. It is like if Danny Ainge had never become a basketball player, he decided to go with baseball and stay with the Toronto Blue Jays. There are so many guys who could have easily gone that other route. What if Dave Winfield had stuck with basketball? There are so many different players that could have done something different. Now, I would have hoped that Tom Brady would have succeeded. And here's the interesting thing. There was just a release of a bunch of baseball cards. Topps did a whole thing about if Tom Brady had played baseball and he had gone to the Montreal Expos. They even did a commercial with his teammates. Pedro Martinez was in it. And they talked about how we would have won all these World Series titles. Tom Brady would have been one of the greatest players in baseball history. That's the whole way that Topps did it. And they released all these Tom Brady cards. So the baseball thing is not a reach. The question is, how good would he have been?
Yeah, I'd just like to throw dirt on Tom Brady a chance I get.
Trey Wingo and the Tom Brady Fan Club. Coming up, who knocked it out of the park and who struck out? Winners and losers are the next thing that we're going to touch on Alternate Route. That's the butterfly effect for real.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes and gives personalized recommendations based on the homes that you like, so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process, and they know how to help you win the right home at the right price. So download the Redfin app to get started today.
Welcome back. We just unpacked all the alternate realities of Barry Bonds in Yankees pinstripes. And now we're going to head back to the real world. We love to do this. Pull ourselves back to center after we go way out there. Trey, who were the big winners of Barry going to the Giants?
Full disclosure, he's a friend, so I'm propping him up, but not that I need to. But it's Joe Torre. I was with Joe working in St. Louis when he got fired in 1995 after a couple of attempts to get where they needed to be and just couldn't get anything going. The Yankees, when they hired him, it was not a popular hire. And he went on to have one of the greatest runs of all time. He was hired at the age of 55 in 1996. At that time, he had been the player or person involved in baseball the longest that had never been to a World Series. And then suddenly, they go 96, 98, 99, 2000, 2003. And if Barry had gone to New York, I don't think Joe Torre exists in this scenario because Buck Showalter sure as hell wouldn't have gotten fired, which is kind of weird and ironic because Buck Showalter was the guy who said, okay, we're up two and Barry Bonds at the plate with the bases loaded, walk in a run instead of letting him wreck us. He knew. So you put Buck Showalter as the manager of that team with Barry Bonds, and I said Paul O'Neill and Don Mattingly behind him, and then you get Posada and you get Pettit and you get Burnaby Williams and you get Mariano Rivera and Derek Jeter. Buck Showalter's never getting fired because they're winning all the time. So yeah. Joe Torre becomes the iconic baseball figure he is because Barry Bonds chose to go to San Francisco. It's interesting because Barry now has the reputation of never best player never to have won a World Series. Joe would have arguably retired with the guy in baseball longest who never even appeared in a World Series.
I love that. And I'll say another winner, I think, is Derek Jeter, because think about it. If Derek Jeter comes in and Barry Bonds is there, Barry's the captain. And he is the New York icon. And he soaks up some of that attention that Derek Jeter gets. But also, Derek falls into the group of guys who were great Yankees, but not the icon that he is today. I always think about that Nike commercial with the little kid tipping his cap.
Yeah.
When he left, you felt it. Everybody in the world was watching those final games with Derek Jeter. How magical was his last game in Yankee Stadium?
Game-winning RBI.
I'm crying. So I think that it would have been different. Now you look at Derek Jeter the same way you looked at Bernie Williams or Paul O'Neill or Jorge Posada or Craig Nettles. He would be in that group of these guys were really good, great Yankees, but they're not the icon. So I think that this was big for Derek Jeter because he grew into the captain, but more importantly, he grew into a symbol.
To pay off the crazy alternate route I gave earlier, I have to say that one of the big winners has to be the Patriots, right? Because if Tom Brady goes to baseball and washes out, the Patriots become what they were before Belichick and Brady, which was a franchise no one gave a damn about. Let's just be honest. The Patriots were irrelevant. They weren't just losers. No one cared.
So does that mean that when Drew Bledsoe gets caught breaking curfew in his brother's dorm room and he tries to cover himself up, hide under the covers of Colorado, that he still keeps his job?
Correct. The Patriots as an organization, they were a joke. Monday Night Football stopped going there because all the fans got drunk and started throwing bottles at the Monday Night booth with Howard Cosell and Danny Ike. It wasn't a safe place to go. They couldn't sell out Sullivan Stadium, which was a tier three college football stadium, okay? Belichick, Kraft, Brady, they made the Patriots what they were for the longest dynasty in the history of the NFL, a dynasty we'll never see again. But they won the division 11 years in a row, for crying out loud. Six Super Bowl championships. All of that is because Tom Brady didn't wash out as a minor league prospect because he would have fallen in love with what Barry Bonds was doing with the Yankees. So the fact that Barry Bonds went to San Francisco, to me, the New England Patriots are the biggest winner in all of this.
I'm going to throw out there San Francisco baseball fans because they got to see Barry, but also they got out of that piece of crap that is Candlestick Park. Oracle Park was built because Barry was there. It's the house that Barry built. And if you ever went to a game in Candlestick Park, you never wanted to go to a baseball game again. It was a piece of crap. It really was. Let's just be honest.
And freezing every night. Freezing.
Cold, windy. It sucked. If Barry Bonds doesn't come along, you never get Oracle Park and the joy that he brought to San Francisco fans. Look, even though he was juicing, didn't nobody give a damn when he was hitting those home runs out into the bay. Everybody was like, this is joyful. And so it was a great time. Barry being there was a great time.
So who's your biggest loser in all of this?
The biggest loser with Barry not being there is the Baltimore Orioles, because then in 96, instead of the Orioles getting a fair shake, they got screwed by that little kid, Jeffrey Mayer.
In right field, Tarasco going back to the track, to the wall. Here. He contends that a fan reaches up and touches it, but Richie Garcia says no, it's a home run.
And I'm going to bring his name up every time because I still haven't gotten over it.
Jeffrey, hit us up. Get in the mentions. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, we want to hear from you, all right. It is one of the truly great travesties in sports history. History. And I hate what happened that night. And for Yankees fans to sit there and celebrate it and not say, damn it, we cheated and we won. No. We were going to come back and win anyway. No, you weren't. Your asses were on the way out. So the Orioles were a big loser because of Barry not being there. Because at least if we had gotten our asses beaten fair and square by Barry, it would have been better than having Jeffrey Mayer steal one. So I'm sorry. I'm going to calm down now. And in 97, we would have won. So anyway, everybody's a fan in some way, somehow. But if you're from Baltimore, you're still pissed. You lose the Colts and then you get cheated? Come on. Let's go, Trey. I'm coming back.
Here's my biggest loser in all this. It's Barry Bonds. There's no denying that Barry Bonds is one of the best to ever, ever put on a baseball glove and swing a baseball bat. So despite the fact that he has the record and he's revered in San Francisco, what people think in general about Barry Bonds makes him, in this way, really one of the biggest losers in all of this, despite all of his success.
There are guys in the Hall of Fame who never had to compete against any of those players in the Negro Leagues. Would they have put up those numbers if they were facing Satchel Paige? Would the pitchers have put up those numbers if Josh Gibson was hitting against them or Cool Papa Bell was stealing bases? Everything could have been so different. And so I have a big problem with baseball when they start excluding people now, because I'm like, there are dudes who you don't know about who would have tore the major leagues up that are going to all forever be excluded, regardless of that whole bogus thing you do with putting Negro Leaguers in the game. If you had to play against these players each and every day, baseball would have been different. And so I hate how baseball tries to stand up all sanctimonious, like, oh, we're the pure sport and America's game. And I was like, hell no, you're not America's game, because half the population never got a chance to play. And now you're excluding a dude for steroids, but there's some dudes you excluded for a long time. And if Jackie Robinson doesn't come along, it could have gone on longer.
I think the hypocrisy about Barry Bonds on every level. I think we're all losers in this because we're not dealing with it honestly and openly. Everyone made money off it, and now suddenly when no one's making money off it, it's the worst thing in the world. Get out of here with that. Let's wrap this up. What would we have missed the most? Give me one thing if Barry Bonds had become a Bronx Bomber.
The home run chase, because Barry wouldn't have been swinging for the fences each and every time. The balls he was hit, some of the baseballs he hit, good goodness.
The pitch, there's a long one to right field. Forget about it. This one is headed for New Jersey. High into the upper deck.
I would have missed the Mitchell committee, the hearings in Washington, D.C. Mark McGwire, I'm not here to talk about the past. I want to be positive for the future. Oh, my God. Rafael Palmeiro squirming in his seat, pointing fingers at people and all this kind of stuff. Curt Schilling, I don't know why I'm here. That facade in that circus, I enjoyed it very much because I saw it for what it was. So it would have been sad if we had missed all of that if Barry Bonds had signed with the Yankees and become the clean home run guy.
Something we would have missed was Jeffrey Mayer, because I'm still pissed at him. And I don't care. I'm going to say his name 100 times.
Holding on like grim death.
Grim death. We would have missed that. Anyway.
We can see the past pretty well, but let's do that lingering question thing. We still can't answer. Kevin, one thing that's got you stumped about the way this whole thing worked out.
How did George Steinbrenner let Barry Bonds get away? He doesn't miss. He didn't miss. You remember, in the 90s, if he wanted somebody, he got him. And he didn't care how much money he had to throw at somebody. Everybody forgets that back then, there wasn't this parity that you have in baseball today. Everybody didn't have a network. The Yankees had MSG and then the YES Network, and they had New York television, and they were making so much money. They were the brand. And Steinbrenner was able to pay above and beyond anybody else, so he never missed. So to this day, I don't understand how they missed on Barry and how they just didn't throw the bank at him, because he was coming off of seasons where he was breathtaking, both in the field and at the plate.
Mine's, again, pretty simple. It's just, will Barry ever get into the Hall of Fame? Bob Costas once said something great about this. He said, just put it in that there was this period from 19-whatever to 2000-whatever where steroid use was rampant, and we really don't know who was clean and who wasn't clean, because, like, some people never got tested. We have no idea whether or not they were or not. We can take guesses. We can have an educated opinion, but we don't really know for sure. So Bob was like, there was this era where this was happening, it was prevalent. But nonetheless, this is a museum of the history of the game. It is a place where we go through the chronology of the sport. So for better or for worse, these are the players that were the most dominant in this era, and we leave that judgment up to you. And I think that would be the simplest way to do it.
Barry Bonds would have been dominant no matter what.
He's a Hall of Fame player if he never even heard the words, the cream and the clear. That's the thing that people need to understand. He didn't need it. He just chose to do it because he was pissed and he wasn't getting attention. And obviously, when you take some of that stuff, you get a little angrier every once in a while.
Trey, who is in the Hall of Fame that escaped the wrath but used steroids? Because we know in football, it was so bad that we saw the health effects on guys. And that's how we knew later on. But while they were playing, when Lyle Alzado was playing, we were just like, he's a wild man. It was later on when he told us he was on steroids.
I remember he's the first guy that heard using human growth hormone. That was the first time. What are you talking about? What did you just say? I'd never even heard those letters before. HGH used it that way. So anyway, that's the end of it. We went through all these possibilities. And Yankee fans, I know you thought about what if, but hey, at least you got A-Rod. And if you're listening or watching on YouTube, let us know what we missed. I'm at Wingos on X. He's at Kevin Frazier.
Wow, we had to throw A-Rod there.
Might as well.
Alex, we love you, man. And send us all of the biggest, wildest, most agonizing sports what-if questions that you'd like us to cover on the show, and we'll throw them in the alternate routes machine for a future episode like Jeffrey Mayer. What if that never happens?
I'm fairly certain we're covering Jeffrey Mayer. Just a hint. I'm picking up on it.
Where are you, Jeffrey Mayer? Where the hell are you?
We're going to find out. We'll see you down the road on Alternate Routes.
That's the butterfly effect. Yeah, nothing left to say. I got to make it happen. What you about to see next is a chain reaction. Shoulda, coulda, woulda's, never see the action. Just keep it real. That's the butterfly effect for real.
Follow Alternate Routes on the Wondery app, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to every episode of Alternate Routes early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
What came first, the chicken or the egg? Spoiler alert, it's neither. Happy Egg, we believe happiness of the hens is what actually came first. Because without happy hens, there would be no such thing as happy eggs. You know, eggs with delicious orange yolks. Those come from hens who are raised the happy way on 8+ acres of family-owned farms. Choose happy at happyegg.com and look for the yellow carton at a store near you.
Happy Egg.